So who is this? I mean, who is this? That is the question that we left off with just a moment ago. Is who is this? Imagine this. Today we're going to be in Zechariah 9:9. We'll go to three places. We'll go to Zechariah 9, then we're going to go to Revelation, then we're ended up in John. So we will go three places today. But first, we're going to start off in Zechariah 9:9. And so in Zechariah 9:9, it is where the prophecy first happens about the triumphal entry, about, hey, there is a king coming to you. We're going to read this in just a minute. So here, all these folks, they've been waiting for so long. And remember, since 1 Samuel 8, when Samuel was getting old, his sons did not walk in the way of the Lord. And so the Israelites began to cry out for God, send us a king, give us a king. And God, it was totally against everything that God was wanting to do. And because them asking for a king was a rejection of him. And it was also, he knew of the problems that they would have. But they kept asking for a king, and Samuel prayed and said, Lord, what do you want me to do in this? And he said, give them what they ask for. Give them this king. And then we see just the this how first the Saul, the first king, he started well but didn't finish well. And then David came on, and remember, there was 12 tribes, and they were separated, they were divided. And then under David, he was able to bring all the tribes together. There's unity in the king in the kingdom, and it was the greatest time between David and also Solomon that the kingdom ever had. But then after Solomon died, then Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the king of Judah, was not very wise, and then he caused a division in the people, and so then Israel left. And the ten tribes called Israel, and then Judah and Benjamin, they stayed as Judah. So now you had the Israelites that were divided. You had the Israelites and then Judah. And then from that, Israel just went downhill quick. The kings, they made a decision to create gods, to create other places of worship. They decided to go against what the word of God said for one reason, so the Israelites would not go and rejoin the people from Judah. And so Israel just went downhill in sin quick, and by 722 BC they were taken into captivity. Now Judah didn't do much better, but they had some kings that would have during their time that would have reforms. There's Hezekiah, there was Josiah, there's a few others that were good kings there that brought people back to the Lord. And still in this, they're crying out for leaders, but then we see that the sin, that God can't handle the sin. We see through prophecy, hey, what's going to happen? And by 586 BC, Judah was also taken into captivity. This time, though, by the Babylonians, by Nebuchadnezzar, the king. And so they spend this time in captivity. And Zechariah is one of the most messianic books in the minor prophets. And we're going to look at just one verse that's in the midst of prophecy. It's there's a lot of bad stuff going on. Then there's this messianic prophecy that is looking at, and here he's saying, hey, I'm sending you a king. Now, by the time that Jesus is going into the city, into Jerusalem, it has been about 500 years, five centuries, and the Israelites still do not have a king, but they're longing for this king, and they're hearing about this, and they're saying, who is this? And some are saying it's the Messiah, it's the promised one, it is the king. And they're looking for a king that's just like the earthly king that they have known in the past, one that is riding a war horse, one with a sword, one with a shield, one that is going to lead them to victory and fulfill all of their desires and bring peace, and that the Israelites, the Jewish people, once again will rule in the world. But we see that this is not the king that Jesus was at this time. The triumphal entry, what we'll see as we look at this, that Jesus is coming as that king. He is coming on a horse. He is coming with a sword. He is coming to bring that type of peace at some time. But it's more of a spiritual thing that's aligned with his word, and we will see in just a moment. But we see if Jesus was to come like that today, if Jesus was to come like that back in this time, about 30 AD is what this was in history, but if Jesus was to come back like that at the time that they were hoping, then everybody we would see would end up in hell. Here, Jesus, in the triumphal entry, he comes as a servant, a God of mercy, a God of grace, because he knew that he had to come and redeem the people before they would ever be ready for him to return and truly be their king. Let's read with me in Zechariah 9:9, this prophecy that was stated 500 years, give or take, before the triumphal entry ever happened. Father in heaven, I pray that you'd open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, as we read your word. Have your way, Holy Spirit, among us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem." He's talking about the Jews here. He says, "Behold, your king is coming to you." Remember, this is a people who were hungry for a king. It says, "He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey." We see here the king is coming. And I imagine there's the emotion, the king is coming, but there's a description that comes along with this that describes the character of God that shows that there is something more with this Messiah than just a king that is going to come and make things to where we can have our way. It's more than just a king that's going to overcome the oppression of the politics that was in this generation so things can be like they were in the past. Church, is there a time that we are hung up with, oh, if things could be just like they were then? That's where the Israelites are today. If things could be just like they were in the past. Who is this? Well, first we see three descriptions in this passage. We see the words here that and they're powerful words. They're powerful words because they describe three characteristics of Yahweh, what we've been singing about here, that we've been talking about. It describes the character of the Lord in that. In these words here, that where it says that he was just, he was endowed with salvation, and then we'll see in the significance of him riding in on a donkey. First, we see this word just that is in this thing. It says, "Behold, your king is coming to you," and it says, "He is just." The word there that is, and not mean to take you into any kind of deep language, but it's tzedek. And it's a word that means righteousness. And so he is the Lord, our righteousness. And remember, there's a name, and there's a time on a Wednesday night about three years ago, where almost for a whole year we went and we looked at the names of God. We broke them down. It took several months for us to get through. And one of those names was Yahweh Sidkenu. And that is the name of the Lord. That is one of his characteristics, that he is just. He is the Lord, our righteousness. And again, this is the word in Hebrew for righteousness. Psalms 89:14, write that down, says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Talking about your being God. That righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, and that loving kindness and truth go before you. What we're going to be seeing here in the next minute or two, that righteousness, this thing of righteousness, it cannot come from men or women or children. It is something that can only be produced in God himself. And like I said, the psalmist writes there that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. That was why sin has brought separation, because sin is the opposite of righteousness, and it brings separation between us and the holy God. Isaiah 45:21, write that down. It says, a righteous God, there is none to compare him. It says, and there are no other gods besides me, is the words of the Lord here. And a righteous God and a Savior, there is none except me. This justice that is bringing, it can't be brought in by an earthly king. It can only be brought in by God, and as we see, his Savior. In Isaiah 64:6, speaking of human righteousness, it said it is an even filthy rags. And that is what he says. There is none righteous. We see in Romans 3:10, which is quoting an Old Testament passage, says there is none righteous, not even one. So here the first hint that we see of this king, it cannot be a human king. It cannot be, well, I take that back, it was a fully human. Jesus Christ was not 50-50 God and man. He was 100% man, and at the same time 100% God. But here it had to take the Son of God to fulfill this role, because no mere human could do this because of the sin that is in our life. Through God's grace and through his mercy, we see that Yahweh Sid Kenu's righteousness, remember, that is the Lord our righteousness, is available through faith. Through faith, through belief and obedience in him. And this idea of salvation was taught when Jesus came, and that's the things that we see, the things that we've been studying in Scripture, the things that we will see in the Tell Somebody book, the things that we're supposed to be about in our life. But it was even taught as early in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, where we see Genesis 15:6, where Abraham believed the Lord. And remember, it was counted to him as what? Do you remember? Righteousness. So this belief, this righteousness, we do not have. There's none of us that are righteous. None of us. None of us whatsoever. Regardless if you have lived what you would think is a moral life, regardless if you've been to seminary, regardless if you have been whatever you want to fill that blank in, there is no one that is righteous, but we can be. That righteousness is made available through us, through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Next, we see in this description, he is just, he is tzedek, he is righteous. And we see here that and endowed with salvation. Oh, what is the name of Jesus? Yeshua. And what it means, the Lord is salvation. I put our there. But it literally means the Lord is our salvation. The Lord is salvation. Yahweh, he is the only one who can be endowed with that and can offer it to us. And what we see in this is the Trinitarian relationship between the Father and the Son. We see that the promises that we see of the Yahweh Tzedekenu, the Lord our righteousness, the promises that we see in the Old Testament are being fulfilled by the Lord our salvation, by Yahweh, by Yeshua, God the Son, in the New Testament. We see this king that they've been looking for all this time, this human king to fulfill their desires. It is a king that only can fit the description of Yahweh, God, and his salvation that we've seen that he speaks of. He is endowed with that. You know, we have a God who loves us. He loves us. He loves every one of you. He loves us so much, and he has an eternal purpose for our life. But there is this separation. Yeah, we were created in his image, but we know by Genesis 3 there was sin had come into the world, and theologically we know that it has affected every man, woman, and child throughout every generation and throughout every culture. There is a separation that is sin, and we know that that separation was fulfilled by this king that would become through this that would come through salvation, and that salvation is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can complete that which is missing in our lives. Oh, and he loves us, but just knowing that and hearing that is not enough. Each one of us must come to a place where we believe that and we obey that. Next, what we see, and we see that he is just and he is endowed with salvation. And then look at this. This is interesting. I wonder how they struggled with this for five centuries about this king that we're looking for. We're looking for a powerful king. We're looking for a king that will lead us to victory. And so then he comes and he's riding in on a donkey. It says that he's humble. It says even a colt. So it may not be just a donkey. It might even be a baby donkey. How they struggle, how they get their mind around, okay, what is this king that he's going to come in such a way? What does that even mean? Well, what it means, the significance of Christ coming in on the donkey was that it was an animal of peace. If a king at this time was wanting to make war, he rode in on a horse, unusually a horse that was covered with armor, a horse that was quick. It wasn't just an ordinary horse. It was the best horse that the kingdom had. And he rode in on a horse, a fierce, fast, strong horse. But whenever a king rode into a place and he was on a donkey, then it was a sign of peace. I guess it would be much like what we see with our soldiers and with the Marines across the world, that if it's a place of war, they have their rifles strung with the barrels up. But as a sign of peace in a peaceful operation, usually the generals and the commanders will have them turn their rifles upside down to where the barrel is down. The rifle is still present. But it is a sign of peace. And that is what this is, where this donkey is a sign of peace. But here we see this king, again, not just on a donkey, but even possibly on a baby donkey. What do we see here? We see here the character of God. We see Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom, where it means that he is the Lord our peace. He is the Lord our peace. Now, when we get into the idea of peace, we often think that our idea of peace is lack of conflict, whether it's lack of war, lack of any turmoil in our life. That is peace. So if God is peace, then why do we still have these issues? But we see, and again, this word shalom is translated over like around 170 times throughout the Old Testament, but it means more than just being free from conflict. It means to be whole. It means to be finished, to be paid in full, that the restitution has been made for us. There is a whole together. It's a sign of completeness. Remember, we were created in the image of God, but that image was tarnished. That image was it was marred. It was no longer in the image that we have been created. There was a brokenness because of sin had entered into the life, and we see that Jesus is coming in, and that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, and that through his blood, through his redemption, through his salvation, that we are being restored to that image. He is Yahweh Shalom. He is the God, our peace. That this king that's on this triumphal entry at this time, that he is bringing completion to us through the salvation. Why? Because he is righteous, and because he loves us, and because only Jesus can save us, and that is through Jesus Christ that we can be complete, that we can be whole, that we can be one with God. Again, the triumphal entry, it's a picture of mercy. I mean, what king, I mean, what man, I mean, just think about what person who wants to be a great leader would come in and just ride on a donkey knowing what was going to happen. Yeah, there's this emotional outburst of Hosanna, and at the same time of Hosanna, who is this again? And he knew that in just days they would be crying, crucify him. And he knew what he would go through. But he knew because there was that day that he would be coming as the king, and he will still be coming as that king. And he had to humble himself and be a servant to us, to people, and bring this salvation and be the redeemer of our sin, or we would all go to hell. Oh, man, what a love. What a love. This God who created us, and we've literally spat in his face with our sin and with all the things that he would want anything to do with us. And not just that, but he would go through these lengths to pursue us. Oh, what a love. You can't even describe a love like that. We want something else. The Israelites at this time, the Jews, they wanted something else. But God knew what was best. Ah, but it will not always be peaceful for everyone. While we see him coming in on a donkey here, we see the character of the Lord, our righteousness, the Lord, our salvation, and the Lord, our peace. We see that things are going to be changing. Let's look at Revelation 19, 11 through 16. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb. 3 days later, he resurrected. He ascended, and he promised that he is coming again. And when he is coming again, friends, he is not coming humble, and he is not coming on a baby donkey. He is coming on a horse. And this passage we've read together before, Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. This is when he's coming again. This king, listen to this. This is good. This is good. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it is called Faithful and True." Listen to this name. This week in your study and the curriculum you're doing in your Sunday school, and if you're not a part of that, I can get you that, and we can get you hooked up to a small group, or I can at least get you the curriculum. You're going to be studying many names of Jesus Christ. And may this be a list that we begin with. But it says that, behold, no. First he says that he's on a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. This is talking about Jesus. And in righteousness, because only he can do it, in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. Sunday school teachers, as you're talking about those different names in your curriculum next week, I mean, what about this name that no one knows except himself? Because he's awesome. And we're not. Man, a name written on him which no one knows except himself. Verse 13, he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called, listen, another name, the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty. This fierce wrath, why? Because of sin. Because of sin. That's why we must proclaim the gospel. That's why we give these, talk about tell somebody. That's why we spend 13 weeks on what does it mean to be a disciple and a disciple maker, because the wrath is coming, and because of the gentleness, because of the humility of a righteous and loving God, that he is providing the opportunity of peace for us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Verse 16, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written. It says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The king that they were wanting, the king that they were hoping for, the king that they waited for over five centuries, he was coming, and he had to come in that way so that they would not result in wrath. What a merciful and gracious act that a king knows that he's got an army waiting for him. He's got the horse of horse. I don't know if that's the name of the horse, but he knows that that day is coming. He knows that he is that king. He knows that he is a greater king than any man could ever imagine. But he knows that if he was to come without coming and providing that salvation, without being our righteousness, without being our peace, and completing us through what he has done for us, then everybody would go into hell. He knew, oh, what strength he had. And in the midst of that strength, in the midst of that power, he comes humbly. Hosanna. Who is that guy? Oh, where are we today in this? He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is the Lord, our salvation. He is the Lord, our peace. He is the Lord of Lords. And we see here he is the King of Kings. He is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. But he is also a just God. And listen to me, church. He is a God of expectation. We can't cling to this God and cling to this King and cry Hosanna and then live in the ways that we want to live. Let's turn to John 3. John 3. We're going to look at the last two verses of John 3. 35 and 36. And then Rhonda will come. We'll read 35, but 36 is where the point is. It says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. And listen to this. He who believes in the Son. Do you believe in the Son today? Says he has eternal life. It says, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. The triumphal entry was necessary to save us from the wrath of God that is coming because of sin. He's a holy and righteous God. He can't have any part of sin, and he's been so patient, and he's come as Jesus, the Son of God. And here he provides opportunity for us, but that is limited. There is coming a time where he says, I am coming, and he is coming as the king that we are expecting, maybe not the king that we are wanting. And he says, he who believes, but then he goes, but he who does not obey, and even in the translations that do not use that word obey, go and look at the original part. It means to obey. That it is possible, listen to me, and challenge me on this later if you have an issue with it. It is possible to believe that Jesus existed. It is possible to believe that Jesus was the one who rode in on the donkey. It is possible for us to believe that he hung on the cross and that he died died and was put in the grave and he rose again and that he's coming again. But it is possible for us to think those things, and then for us to not obey him in that. It is possible for us to believe all those things and still go to hell. It's possible. What's it called? It's called blasphemy. And that's a whole other sermon. I've already preached that sermon. We can find that for you. But here, that we can know or think that we all need to, or that we know it because of our experience and what we've heard. But what does your life look like? He says that we should be, that we are to be saved, that we are to believe, but we are also to that He's our Lord, that we are to obey. And there is no way that we can proclaim that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior, and that we act in ways that do not align to His word and expect His mercy when He comes again. Church, it says that. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son, you cannot have both. You can't say, oh, I believe, and I'm going to live however I choose to live, and then get what you want in the end. I'm going to look at a verse. It just came to my mind. Romans 10. And then I will close. And Rhonda, you can go ahead and come, you and Tim. Romans 10, 9. And we'll read 10 too. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. We've been talking about that. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And I've spoken on this many, many times. That is not just a mere confession. This when this was, remember, the word is my bond. I don't say one thing and do another. Or that'd be hypocrisy. Here, and it calls him Lord. It's not enough just to believe, but is he your Lord? You know everything you need to know about Jesus Christ. You know everything you need to know about the Bible. But is he your Lord? The word Lord, it means master. And you're like, well, hey, you know, master and servant, you know, what's up with that? I tell you, when you look at it in a biblical way, it's a beautiful relationship. It's not an abusive relationship that we've come to know in our culture. But when he is our master, it is one of provision, one of love, one of protection, one of promise. So church, I know you know everything you need to know. I know you've maybe even read, but is Jesus Christ your Lord? Is he your Lord? The big idea we're leaving with is that King Jesus is here. But be careful not to miss him. A question I have for you is, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? Is the Holy Spirit working in your life and saying that today is the day that you need to make a change? Come, and I would love to pray with you. I'd love to talk with you. I'd love to connect with you and answer any of your questions. Maybe, church, it is today the day that you need to rededicate your life to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Help me obey.